Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It says Baltimore right on it. We got the city all right, the crabs all right on us. Last time we got together with this guy personally, he was not the mayor of Baltimore. He is now. Don, our time is short. We're going to give love to State Fair and talk about those Faithless crab cakes we had last time we were with then city council president, but we welcome Mayor Brandon Scott back onto the program. Well, what's up? You know, I was going to let my hair out and do all that, and I didn't want to be disrespectful, but I didn't even want to wear the tie today. I figured we got the new swag. I figured you would approve of the new swag, Mr.
Yeah, no, I like the new swag. Always, it's hoodie season, as we say, so always good to have a good hoodie.
Well, Mr. Mayor, we'll get to the hair a little later, because I said I think it's one of the silliest discussions I've ever seen as to what kind of hair a mayor has. But we are tight on time, so let's jump right into it. And again, we hope you'll come back regularly and sort of update us, because we think it's a great opportunity, not only for our listeners, but for you to get your message out. When you were inaugurated, in your speech, you came right out of the box and you identified two crises. You said, look, we face a dual crisis in the city of Baltimore, COVID and homicides, violent crime. Let's talk about both. Let's start with COVID and particularly vaccine distribution, because I think what we've done is we've shifted now, it seems to me, Mayor, from people being apprehensive about getting the vaccine. We're now there impatient. And I'm sure you're hearing it. Your Facebook pages are flooded. People saying the city's not getting the vaccine out there quick enough. I can't get enough information. So it's your platform. Tell folks what to do, how the city's going to do better, and what help you need from the feds and the state.
Well, I think we'll start there, right? Don, I think, Don, so we know that we have, after the inauguration on Wednesday, we have now a functioning presidential, functioning federal government that understands this is a national issue and that we have to work better in coordination. I will say that for us here, and not just for me, for the county executives, we have all been working with the state to try to make sure that we can get more vaccination, also having them communicate better with us so that we know which phases and know that we're going to have the amount of vaccines needed in order for us to get them in the arms of people. I actually met with the governor last week and asked the governor if it was good, if we were okay to partner with our hospitals and other health partners to get the vaccine out. He said yes. And we're going to be doing that in a city that has the amount of hospitals that we have and community health organizations that we have. Also, asked the governor about standing up mass vaccination sites at the stadium, right? He and his office, my office, the health office of the state and others are working together to get that up and running as well, because we know what we need to do. It was never going to be possible for Baltimore City's health department and Baltimore County or Howard's to simply just vaccinate everyone. This only was ever possible if we were all going to be able to have partnerships. The governor has given us the green light for that, and we're going to do that. We still do have challenges, right? The system that they have us using is very, very inequitable. We know that many, many residents here in the city of Baltimore do not have access to the internet. So to ask them to go and file something out online, it's not going to work. So what we started this week is we are allowing residents and seniors, older adults in Baltimore, without access to the internet, can call Maryland Access Point 410-396-2273, 410-396-2273 in order to get the vaccine. We'll also have a new vaccine site that we're going to open up in Baltimore City at Baltimore City Community College, because we know it's right next to the biggest transit hub in the city, one of the biggest transit hubs in the city at Mondawmin in West Baltimore, and we can get people there. We're going to continue to push on the state and the feds about getting us more vaccines. We're going to be announcing in the very near future, the partnerships that we have with our hospitals, the state, and others about how we're going to work to get more people vaccinated in our city.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, let's dive into a couple of those, because I think this really is the heart and soul of what we're hearing and what you're hearing. Does the city Does the city have the capability? Let's hypothetically say you suddenly get an increase. Now we've got President Biden as of this past week. If the city does get an increase in vaccine, with the program that you've outlined using your health partners as well as the health department, does the city have the personnel to begin to get these shots in people's arms to meet this 100 million shots that the president's talking about in 100 days?
Yeah, well, I think that what with having the hospital partners and the other partners we have here, it would put us much in a much better spot to do that. We know that we're probably going to still need even more partnership. That's why we are working with the state. And what we're going to do, and knowing that the federal government is probably going to be offering resources as well, but having now the authority to actually partner with those hospitals and other partners means that we are expanding our capacity in many, many ways. So we're looking forward to that and hopeful, Don, that we actually get that increase. Right now, all of us are asking to have more.
Mayor, I'd say with you, when we sat with you a year and a half ago, you're dreaming of running for mayor. There was no department set up to run vaccines during a pandemic, right? So from a management standpoint, it's sort of a created, not just a position, it's a created department and a complete emergency wing that has to happen here. And, you know, you and I are not set up to be administering shots. These are professionals that you need to then sort of sift away from people already servicing the medical community, right? I mean, we are lucky that we have so many hospitals and medical people here, but still finding the man hours and who runs the lanes just to get traffic through this, this is a major tactical thing, right?
Yeah, and this is why it's a partnership with our health department, with emergency management, our other agencies. But it's also important, as you point out, is that this is already the health department that's leading on COVID in every other way. These folks have been working hours that you could not believe. This is just an added thing onto that, which is why we're using partnerships that we have with like COP and State, obviously hospitals and others to help support the health department through this process, working with our state partners. Now being able to work with our federal partners, it's important that we coordinate. And I just have to say that Dr. DeRosa, all of our agency heads have done a great job of working together, and we're just going to keep pushing us to be better.
Well, let's pick up before we move on from COVID, because it's certainly worthy of the entire discussion, and it'll impact what we talk about when we talk about businesses as well. You gave out a phone number. I want to check that number. I think it was 410-396-2273.
Yep.
Correct. So now folks are listening. They're going to scamper. You're going to publicize that number. And I know one of my nightmares as county executive, anytime we had a number for something, was like, oh my goodness. Now we're going to be flooded. People are going to say, you got a number. I can't get through. I'm on hold. I get busy. Nobody gets back to me. How are you going to monitor that line? And what's your capacity to handle thousands and thousands of calls, Mayor?
Well, again, remember, this is for seniors. This is for seniors and older adults, as we call them, older adults in priority groups 1A and 1B who don't have access to the internet. So if you're calling in and you're 36 years old, this isn't for you. This is for our older adults in 1A and 1B so that they can, who don't have access to the internet. Because as I said before, Don, one of the frustrating things with the state is the system is inequitable. And we're working with the government, his folks, to figure out ways to work around them. And those folks are there. This is something, a line that's manned all the time. Anyway, they will get back to you when and letting you know how we can get you set up for vaccines and when appointments become available. I'm confident that they'll be able to do that.
Brandon, I'm appreciative of that because my mother died a couple years ago. My mother would have been one of those people who didn't have the internet, who would have needed a shot. So, and I know many, many people in that circumstance. We've got Mayor Brandon Scott here. Let's move on to, you know, how COVID has affected this thing. Look, I'm attached to every business owner in the city, right? So when you shut the businesses down here, you hurt my business too, because then the businesses I do business with can't pay me. I've heard all of this. I'm out on Facebook page. I went out day one. You became mayor. One of the first things you did was shut down the bar. First thing we did was run over to Amici's, run over to Pierpoint, start supporting the businesses. I saw you doing it. I saw Eric Costello, who represents me, doing it. We're now, what, 6-7 weeks into this, getting up on to the end of January. We're reopening. give me a snapshot of the last 6 weeks for what a guy like me and my wife, that we could go sit at Amici's at the bar this week and have a beer and support that business that we want to support.
Yeah, listen, as I said before, those decisions were made. They were not decisions. I didn't Nestor and Don. I didn't want to go out there and say we're shutting things down. I did that because it was the right thing to do. And where we stand, as I made that announcement yesterday, is that we had the lowest positivity rate in the state, lower than any other jurisdiction. We actually, if you look at our seven-day positivity rate, it's at 5.6%. Our deaths are down 43% from the 4 weeks before. So after talking with the health commission, our advisors, we were given the okay that we can pull back a little bit. And we're doing it in a unique way. We understand, I understand, I met and talked with restaurant owners, as you know, I've been frequently talking to folks, especially places that I've continued to support and get food from. We know how hard it is for them, and we want to be able to support them through this process. As you know, we've given out many, many, many millions of dollars to support where BDC is going to be announcing a new $3.9 million round of grants in the coming weeks. We have to support them, but we want people to be safe. And this is why we're putting the restrictions that we have in now. This is why we're pulling back a little bit to make sure that we can keep people safe and support the businesses. And we're just looking forward to continuing to have the lowest positivity rate in the state.
Mayor, one of the things that came up during the campaign, you've talked about it for years. One of the things that folks seem to want to do in Baltimore City is to sort of paint this as an either or. You either care about neighborhoods or you care about Center City and businesses and the business community. And traditionally, people have said, you know, Mayor Scott, then City Council President Scott, Councilman Scott, he's really an advocate for the communities. I'm worried that he doesn't get downtown, that he's not a downtown guy, and he doesn't understand how important that is. What do you say to those folks to reassure them that you absolutely understand that downtown is suffering right now and is a bit in a crisis, and you're there to help them dig out of it?
Yeah, I think that first I will also just point out, listen, my record speaks for itself. I've always been an advocate for the Central Business District, always been one of those people talking about how we need to reimagine the Central Business District before it was popular to say that, right? I've seen things coming before. Just noting that I spent so much time, Don, working with people in the Central Business District, building relationships for some of those skeptics, reaching out to them, explaining to them how I'm going to operate as mayor, but also always having an open door. Don, I think you know this about me. I'm not one of these folks who've been in this chair who they only want to talk to people who are nice to them. Doesn't matter to me. I want to hear every single side of the coin because that's the only way I can make the best informed decision. And I know that we have to make sure that we have a strong downtown, a strong business community in order for our neighborhoods to be strong because those people need somewhere to work.
Well, you mentioned talking to everyone. Before we jump to the crime issue, which was your second priority in your inaugural address, you mentioned talk to everyone. Off the air, Nestor said, wait a minute. I need to hear the Shorty story on the air, because I said, when I saw you in a press conference, and I couldn't see Shorty because he was off camera, but Shorty used to come out all of the time to Baltimore County and camp out when county executives were having press conferences, and you didn't shy away at all. You said, "Now, come on, Shorty, I'm trying to share something here. Tell folks who Shorty is and how you were comfortable enough."
You're a folk hero, dude. Really, you are, man. Really. It's not just the hair.
Look, Shorty's my man. So Shorty's an activist here in Baltimore. For all of those who may be watching Be More Positive and don't know, I didn't just call some random person Shorty. That's the actual preferred name.
Other than me. Sometimes he calls me Shorty.
That he prefers to be called by. And listen, Shorty, he's been a big activist, especially around police accountability and reform. He himself had an issue that actually happened in Baltimore County. As I often tell him when he and I are discussing this, he has some great barbecue for those who still eat meat in the city. Shorty's barbecue is a great thing. But essentially what happened was Shorty was doing his thing, right? Protesting, which doesn't bother me at the least. People have the right to peacefully protest. We all know that I myself have led protests in this city against violence. But Shorty was a little too close to some reporters without his mask up, and I had to stop the press conference and tell him to pull his mask up. That wasn't a act of disrespect. I want folks to understand that. It was quite the opposite. Because by me calling him not by the name, his government name, as we say, but by the name he chooses to be called by, and me saying something to him and recognizing him and humanizing him in a way that folks that were sitting in my seat before did not do, it was done out of love, because Shorty is not a young guy, and I don't want Shorty to get sick. And that's why I did what I did. But I am grateful to the now millions of people around the world who now know that they need to pull their mask up, and that young people in Baltimore and beyond have taken that and made it a cultural cry, because now, thanks to Shorty and myself, many, many people have now heard why, how important it is.
You know, I used to say Governor Schaefer, then Mayor Schaefer, always had the best PSAs. You know, he'd hire like basketball players to shoot trash. And like, you've just done the best PSA ever for masks, right? Without realizing you're doing it, right?
No, it was terrific. And again, as somebody who's been in front of that microphone, I tip my hat to you. Now to the very, very serious and sobering story of Baltimore City. You identified violent crime in your inaugural address. You've been in office roughly 6 weeks. Homicides have continued. And most recently, actually took my breath away, Mr. Mayor, because I will tell you that the person I'm about to mention was on our list. I was chasing him down.
I was chasing Don to chase him.
To be a guest.
For a year and a half, I said, we have to have him on.
We have to get Dante Barksdale on the show. You know that Nestor and I are a big fan of Safe Streets. I know you're a fan of Safe Streets. Talk about his murder, pay homage to him, and then give us some hope that Mayor Brandon Scott can get this Titanic turned around, because it's just unacceptable.
Yeah, as I said the other day, Dante was the heart and soul of Safe Streets. And an example, Don and Nestor, of what was possible for people in Baltimore, even who've been on the wrong side. Like, you know, Dante, if you look at the entirety of his life, he, like no one else, wasn't perfect. But the truth is, all things said, the truth is that Dante Barksdale saved thousands of lives on the streets of Baltimore City. How many people can say that? How many people can say that they personally went out and interceded in some beef that could have been over any and everything, right? Something as simple as someone liking someone other's girl's picture on Instagram, something as major of someone had shot someone's cousin or relative years before, and being able to stop that from ending up in someone else shot or killed. Many people can't say that. And Dante Barksdale, his legacy says that thousands of times over. It was a gut punch. I actually was meeting with the restaurant owners when I got the word that this latest homicide victim was him, and got in my truck and went down to the scene and told the restaurant owners I was going to have to leave the meeting and come back, because it was that important for me. Dante was, he was a friend of mine. He's like a brother to me. You know, if you look on his Instagram page, you'll see videos of he and I walking around Baltimore, like talking to people, trying to stop violence. And what his death does for me, and I said this at our vigil for him on Monday, as I was dealing with my own anger and own sadness, I found myself on his social media page trying to figure out what he would say. And then there were two things that I saw. One, where he talked about how forgiveness is the most gangster thing in the world. And the other was a video from the last time that he and I walked together over the summertime. And me remembering the conversation that we had about me going deeper, that we had to grow what Safe Streets was able to do, right? And you heard me talk about like Safe Streets 2.0, having them not just intercede in that violence, but be able to provide opportunities for people to change their life and expand in that work. So in his honor, I am doubly committed to that work and understanding that where we, as we move, where we stand today, and we know that there were modest reductions to violent crime in Baltimore last year, not enough for me. We have to go even further. And as we talk today, I know that, homicides are down 28% versus where they were last year. Still not enough for me. And what you will be hearing from us as we move forward is nothing that we've done before from a policing standpoint or other has to continue just because, right? So all of the strategies, we're going to be refocusing our efforts on the people who are driving the crime, Don and Nestor. Like, that's going to happen, and that's going to happen post-haste. Those individuals who we know are driving the crime in all nine of our districts will be focused on the areas where the violence happens consistently over and over. Not doing, and you'll hear much more about this. I don't want to give too much detail. Not having, mayors before step out and say, we're going to have police in all of these areas because this is where the violence is happening, and it actually not be a violent area, right? Focusing in the areas of the need. Evaluating and modernizing how BPD does its work. All of that's going to happen in constitution with our new mayor's office of neighborhood safety led by Director Jackson that will be working to coordinate that. I asked the governor, Don, in our meeting last week to bring back the coordinating criminal justice coordinating council underneath my office to him to allow me to do that and just send the state agencies to be there so that we are looking at every single thing. You're going to hear a lot from me about how we're going to be tracking down people who are trafficking guns into the city. We are going to focus on this in every single way, and we're going to think about Dante every time that we're doing it.
Mayor, it's nothing more important, and I really appreciate that passion. As you were remembering Dante, you said, I was angry, I was sad. You're acting on that to make a difference. You also said, when you were discussing that, we're going to focus our attention on the most violent offenders. We know where they are. We Nestor and I have heard that before. Drill down on that for us, for our listeners. What does that mean? I mean, it sounds good, but what does it actually look like and mean?
Well, two things. One, I would tell you that you've been hearing that, but it hasn't been happening. Like, that's the reality. When you look at and you have the extensive knowledge and data that myself and my staff have, and you look at the folks that people have been saying to you are the most violent, they haven't been the most violent. But you know, one of the ways, and you heard me talk about this for a while, that we're now in the stages of beginning stages of implementing is a group violence reduction strategy. If you look at my campaign crime plan, it's the number one thing, because we know, again, overwhelming majority of violence is done by a small group of people on another small group of people, right? What we're going to do is focus on them, not just any law enforcement. Yes, BPD is going to work with our state and federal partners, and these are the folks that they're going to target for enforcement each and every day. Those are the folks that they're going to be targeting and enforcing the laws on. However, Don, when you're fully implementing a group violence reduction strategy, you call these folks in, you let them know who they are, you tell them that you're going to target them in a sense, right? And you do that, but you also do what the city failed to do the first two times that they tried to implement a group violence reduction strategy, which is why it hasn't worked here. And that's the city has to bring resources for people to change their life. It's the carrot and the stick at the same time. Like, you have to do that. And that's what we're going to be doing in the city of Baltimore. We've seen it work in cities around the country, focusing in on those people.
Mayor, you've been close to this job a long time as a councilman, as city council president, now as mayor for 6 or 7 weeks. Go to 10,000 feet for us. And Nestor's asked this question a lot over the couple years we've been doing the show. I hear it from people on the street. What do you think the job of a mayor or a county executive is from 10,000 feet? What should the mayor be doing to make a difference in this great city? What's the job?
Listen, the mayor's the CEO. The mayor is the visionary. It's my job as the mayor to lay out the vision for how we can be a better city and build a team. As you know, Don, you know a job like that very well. This is why I went out and hired our first city administrator in Chris Shorter. His job is to execute on a day-to-day operations what we're trying to put out. My job is also to be the cheerleader and the fighter for the city. It's my job to be in Annapolis. It's my job to be in D.C., making sure that we get the resources. It's my job to tell the story of Baltimore, to be the cheerleader, to not be afraid to embarrass myself like William Donald Schaefer did in that pool, to make sure that everyone knows, and what they will know in my administration is that Baltimore has a new mayor who loves this city, who will do whatever for his city, who will champion the city, but will never shy away from the issues, has a plan, has a team, and we are going to act on that plan as a team to make Baltimore a better place.
Mayor, you mentioned forgiveness being part of, and I guess for all of us, Don and I were up Wednesday. I'm sure you were watching Springsteen sing and Katy Perry and Firework, you know, all that, right? The new administration, where you are politically, what the things you fought for, having, quite frankly, a con man and a criminal saying bad things about our city while getting police protection, running into, you know, the Fort McHenry a couple of weeks ago. We now have advocates and, you know, in the White House and folks that I would think that you've rubbed elbows with, that you're going to have an audience with at some point. Talk about forgiveness being a platform and what Joe and Kamala are trying to do to bring the country together. Same thing you're trying to do with the city right now. How do you feel about what's happened in D.C. this week and in the last couple of weeks?
Well, the last couple of weeks has been challenging. To see what we saw with those terrorists doing what they did in D.C. was a sombering thing, but it wasn't surprising to me. And I hope that we as a country use that as Nestor, as a point of how much work there is to be done, that people still act and believe that way, that people who were out there with a Blue Lives Matter flag literally killed police officers and hurt police officers simply because they were stoked by a now former criminal president. But when you think about the inauguration of President Biden and Vice President Harris, you think about the opportunity. I think about just watching it, what that means for young women in this country to see that, right? And it's just about hope and opportunity, knowing that they're both functioning folks who understand the federal government, knowing that they both understand how cities are important to this country. For a mayor like myself and the other mayors around the country, we're very excited because we know that they believe. Listen, to have a president issue an executive order around racial equity on his first day in office, and to have that align a lot with the work that I've been doing here, to have them talk about already knowing that a friend of mine, Mayor Pete's going to be the transportation secretary, and understanding that he knows how important cities are and that how we have to undo and build transportation and infrastructure in a different way. It's an opportunity for us to move as a country, to heal from COVID, to start to continue this reconciliation we have around race and inequity, but also to build not back better, build back new for our cities around the country. And I'm excited to be a part of it.
Mayor, one last thing. We promised your staff, since we want you to come back on, we're going to honor the time because we know how busy you are. I said in the beginning, I've never seen anything sillier, although I guess we now know how Hillary felt when people judged every hairstyle she ever. Did you ever think that at the beginning of the pandemic, when you couldn't get to the barber and you started to grow your hair and you said, hey, you know, sort of throwback, I kind of like the old school afro. Did you ever think it would become a political football?
Actually, no. Let me be very clear, Don. I knew it would be that way.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons why I kept it. Being a young black man, I talked about this before, I cut my hair the first time because I was told by folks who, you know, cared about me and were advising me that, hey, you're graduating from college, you're never going to be successful in what you want to do with long hair. And to tell the story very quickly, as you know, as I talked to you guys, it started as a COVID thing and it drove my staff nuts. And I would tell them every time they asked me about whether I was getting a haircut, there was another 2 months that I wasn't going to cut it. But I start to get asked a question by young people about why I'm not cutting my hair. And do people tell me that I should cut it or that I'm not professional because I don't cut it? And then it pushed me back to those conversations. And I start to think about like the symbolism about around me telling young people, you don't have to cut your hair. You should be judged based on how you carry yourself, your education, how you treat people, how you have respect for other folks, your abilities, not on whether you
see, you had good parents, Mayor, didn't you? Right? You had good family teach you the right way, right?
And dreads or whatever you want to wear. And then Don and Esther, as you know, I lost my grandmother right after I won the election, right before I got sworn in. The last time I talked to my grandma, my mom, who hates me having an afro, by the way, my mom tried to grandmother because they knew if anybody can get me to do anything without me asking questions, it's my grandmother. She says, Brandon, do this. I say, yes, ma'am, no matter what it is. So my mom said to my grandmother, Mom, don't you think he should cut his hair? My grandmother said, mm-mm, he don't have to cut it. He just needs to cut the sides. So that's where the cutting comes from, my grandmother, to honor and always honor and lift her up.
Well, I haven't had a haircut. I tell you what, you know, it's been about since the last time I saw you since I had a haircut. So I just put it up under the hat and imagine that. You know what I mean? That's where I go. Take care of yourself. Take care of our city. We're all in this together. We appreciate you coming and spending a little time with us.
Thank you, Nesta. And I got some for that hair to help you pick it out. I'm going to send it to you in the mail.
No, man. We're going to get together once we get the shots, get the masks off, and we're going to do Baltimore up the right way. I'm going to have dinner with the mayor sometime.
Mayor, good luck everybody. Good luck getting everybody vaccinated. It's front and center. Know you're on it. As Nestor always says, appreciate you being on the wall and look forward to having you back periodically just to update folks as to what's going on.
And let us know how we can help you, right?
Absolutely. Thank you, gentlemen.
Appreciate it. There he goes, Mayor Brandon Scott, former city council president, former city councilman, and formerly with short hair. Now we've learned about shorty and short hair and long hair. On behalf of Don Moeller, whose hair's getting a little longer, we're all trying to get a little younger here with the new administration. We're also going to be joined by Senate President Bill Ferguson. If you've missed any of the chats, you can find them now out in the podcast audio vault as well as at BaltimorePositive.com. We are WNST.com. That AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking mayoral issues at Baltimore Positive.